I love hearing these testimonies, don't you? I love hearing these testimonies. I love seeing what God doing or missed with a life. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. You don't know. Lord Terry's is coming and don't come back. You don't know who's sitting here and might be the next pastor. This church, the next preacher, one of these little babies. It might be a Sunday school teacher. One of them boys back there, God save him and raise him up, be a preacher. Well, we don't know, folks. We just got to be faithful and preach God's word. And God knows what he's doing in people's hearts and his minds. And it's so important, I believe, to have a testimony. And that's what I got on my mind this morning, about a testimony. 2 Kings this morning, chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. About having a testimony. Truly being born again. Being right with God. Are you where you need to be with God? And God put this on my mind, and I meditated on this week and thought about it. In a very familiar portion, I've preached on it before. But God's burdened my heart and to get on this today, because I believe that's what's killing us right now in 2020 with our churches and our land. If you did a poll, why everybody in Pike County say they believed in God, I bet you got very few Muslims and Buddhists in Pike County where everybody in here believe in God. I'm going to dare say there's some of them right now that fight you over this Bible right here and Jesus Christ. I mean, they'd fight, but they ain't right with God. And it takes more than that, don't it?
That's right.
It takes having a testimony. It takes having a changed life.
Amen.
Being truly converted, truly born again.
No creep.
2 Kings, the Bible said in chapter 5, let's get down in verse 14. The Bible said, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. Ricky was singing about being clean this morning. Sorry, your heart as white as snow. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know. He said, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants 2 mules, burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. He said unto him, go in peace. He invoked peace upon Naaman right here. So he departed from him a little way. You know, when Jesus began preaching in Nazareth, he went into the synagogue, Brother Jeff, and he opened up the scrolls. And he began to preach to them from the prophet Isaiah. And they said this thing. They said, never a man ever spake like this man before. He spoke with authority. He spoke with power. And could you imagine how boring it would have been, Brother Garrett, to go in them synagogues, Brother Jamie, and to hear that old priest get up there in his monotone voice read that scroll to you, and they would shut the scroll and they would go on. But when Jesus got there, he unrolled the scroll. He was the Word, became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and he began to read it. They said, ain't nobody speaks like him. He speaks with power, and one was authority. But Jesus used an example there in that little place, in that little synagogue in Nazareth, and brother, it set the whole place afire. Of all the things that he could have used, Jesus used the little story that I just read to you here out of 2 Kings chapter 5 about Naaman the leper, the Syrian. Jesus said there were many lepers in the day there when Naaman was there.
Yeah.
He said, but listen, God chose the man of God to heal the Syrian of his leprosy. And those Jews, when they heard that, listen, it took them back. They didn't understand that. They didn't like that. There was many lepers in that day. But God chose this man. Jesus chose to use the illustration of this man called Naaman. And it made them mad, brother, Nazareth. And they run Jesus out of church. And they run him out of the house of God.
Amen.
And Ricky, he never went back there again. He went on down to Capernaum and set up there now. And down in Galilee. But he never once came back to Nazareth. They did not want to hear about this man that I just read to you about right here, called Naaman of the Syrian. Now Naaman, listen, was a powerful man. Naaman was a good man, a valiant man. Naaman was a man of authority. If Naaman was to come home, he'd be one of them men you'd want your daughter to date. He'd be one of them men you'd want to be around. He was that kind of man. But the Bible said, Brother Jamie, that Naaman had a problem. And that problem was this. Naaman was a leper. And listen, leprosy, there was no cure for leprosy whatsoever. There's still no cure for leprosy now. And leprosy started out small. It's a type in the Bible of sin. It always starts out small. And the priest would diagnose leprosy. They would have to examine it. And brother, it goes beneath the skin. And it couldn't be healed. And that's the way sin is. It's underneath that skin. It's in the blood. And brother, it's got to be dealt with. And Naaman was a leper. And Sister Kyle, I preached a message on the little maid. He had a little slave girl down there that no doubt would carry his armor. That no doubt would help him carry his stuff. And listen, when he would disrobe, he'd give her, listen, his armor. And she'd take it. And know that she'd see on his body, maybe on his shoulder, or a place on his back, Brother Jeff. And she'd see that. And it began to burden her heart. And she said, he's got leprosy there. He's a mighty man. He's got money. He's got power. But when he takes all that armor off, he's just a lowly leper. That's all he is. And it began to burden that little girl. Boy, I like that little girl. Listen, she wasn't bitter. Life ain't been too good to that little maid. She was took as a slave. Well, she was took from her family and put in the house of Naaman. But she wasn't bitter. Hey, listen, she had compassion on him down there. She didn't have no cantankerous, a bad spirit. She said, this man's got leprosy, and he can't get no help unless he gets down there to the man of God. And she told somebody, she said, I would to God, my Lord, I would go down to see Elisha, the man of God. For if she goes down there, he will be healed of his leprosy. Are you listening? And listen, Naaman went out, and the Bible said he loaded up his chariot, and he put all kinds of money on it. And brother, he got all kinds of change of clothes. Brother Jamie, nobody told him to get money. Nobody told him to get change of clothes. Nobody told him to get mules. But that's the way we think, ain't it? That we can buy something from God. That we can earn favor from God. They weren't told that. But here he goes down there. And the Bible said he goes down, a letter goes out to the king. And you know what the king does when he gets that letter? That old Naaman's coming. The Bible said the king got up and ripped his clothes and said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Here comes Naaman, the mighty man of Syria. He said, can I heal him of his leprosy? You know what that reminds me of, Brother Jamie? That reminds me of the church right now in this state that we're living in. It reminds me of the church right now in this country that we're living in. Oh my goodness. Oh Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Let's just throw up our hands and quit. Brother, we got a God in heaven.
Amen.
He ain't a bit nervous about the coronavirus. He ain't a bit nervous about the election. He ain't a bit nervous about the state of affairs in this world, brother. And listen, we as a church, we just need to keep preaching. We just need to keep teaching. We just need to keep loving people. Brother, I'm telling you, there's help today for sinners. There's help today for broken mankind. Brother, we don't need to throw up our hands like this old King Nun. Brother, let me tell you something. A Naaman goes down there, and the king said, listen, you need to go see the man of God. Hey, Naaman goes down there, listen, I'm being fast this morning. There's so much preaching in this fifth chapter right here. He goes down there, brother, to the man of God's house. Now, you would think, brother, that the man of God, Brother Jeff, would go outside and meet him, but he don't even do that? He stays inside the house. Why does he do that for? Because, listen, Naaman's going to have to humble down. And, brother, he ain't going to run out there and give him no more special treatment than he does anybody else. So he sends a little servant out there to tell Naaman, say, look here, Naaman, you need to go down and dip in the Jordan River seven times. Brother, listen, Naaman said, I thought it'd be better than this. I thought it would be different. But you see, Naaman was not at the place, Ricky, where he's ready to be converted. Naaman's not at the place where he's ready to get help, because Naaman's got to humble down. Listen, you'll never get right with God. You'll not have a testimony right before God. You and I'll never be used of God until we learn to humble ourselves down under the mighty hand of God. Are you listening? God, don't get into stuff. But we rebel and do our own thing. And Naaman's going to have a testimony in Israel. And Naaman's going to have a testimony that the Lord's even going to tell them about. But it all starts when this man gets submitted, when this man gets under and does what God's book says and does what God says. Hey, listen to me. That's where it all starts at. When you and I humble down and embarrass his flesh and say, God, use me.
Amen.
Dakota spoke up last week in church, brother. He embarrassed his flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. He embarrassed his flesh. That wasn't his flesh. Randall Mullins just said, speak up in front of them people. I'm a 16-year-old boy. You couldn't have given me $1,000 when I was 16 years old to do that right there. Brother, that was God. I said, you speak up and you humble down. And you tell them you wasn't right when you got baptized as a kid. It's your right now, brother. Brother, that's God right there. And God will give you that testimony. And God will humble you down. But God won't save nobody until he humbles. Listen, humbles us down. And we get to the place, Ken, where our flesh gets embarrassed. But let me tell you something. One of the biggest hindrances, Brother Sammy, to me being used of God, preaching, was I didn't want to get up here and embarrass my flesh. But God said, listen, I'm not going to use you until you get to a place where you embarrass yourself in front of people. Then I'll use you in a mighty way. And that's the way it is for me. And that's the way it is for you. Brother, you got to humble yourself down and say, God, I just want to get clean of this leprosy that I have, which is sin in my life.
Amen.
He submitted, Brother Glenn. He humbled himself down. Brother, he goes down there to the Jordan River, and I preached on them other rivers, and there's some messages in them rivers right there. Them other rivers were a lot cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
Them other rivers was a lot prettier. But God wanted him to go down into the muddy Jordan. He wanted him to go down there in the nasty water, brother. He wanted him to go do it down there in a poor man's place. Because he had to get down there where he was at, brother. Couldn't you imagine old Naaman going down there with his chariot, all them servants, Brother Jamie? Can you see him over there whispering around? What is he doing? He's crazy. What's he doing down there? That little spot on him. Why, he don't need that. He's a mighty man, brother. That little old spot, if it wasn't clean, he'd go out to a big old spot. It ended up killing him, Dakota. He'd end up being away. He'd end up losing his family. He'd end up losing his health. He'd end up losing everything he had. If that little spot, Brother Glenn, was not took care of in his life, he'd end up losing it all down the road. And I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, if you got a spot of sin in your life, if it ain't took care of in your life, it might not get you today. Honey, it'll get you next week or a week later, but a year later or 2 years later. But I'm going to tell you down the road, that spot will catch up to you. And it'll ruin, it'll destroy your life.
Amen.
He had to go down there, Jeff, and get it took care of there in the Jordan River. The Bible said he dipped one time and he didn't get clean. He dipped two times and he didn't get clean. He dipped three times, he had to go seven times. And I could see people laughing. But the Bible said when he got up, brother, that seventh time, he was clean. That word clean means he was like a baby. Well, I remember old Terry Pace preaching a message one time and talking about that little missionary preaching overseas. And them people didn't grow up in church like we grew up in church. They don't know all the lingo. They baptized this old man in an African village. They got him up in front of the church. They said, what's your testimony? Here's what he said. I just feel clean. Boy, ain't that way God does you when God saves you? He just cleans you all up. And the Bible said, listen, a Naaman come up out of that water and he was clean. And look what your Bible said. And he returned to the man of God. You said, preacher, what are you preaching about this morning? I'm preaching on a true testimony. A man that's got a true testimony is a man that seeks and humbles down, brother. And gets humble before God. And brother, after he gets converted, the Bible said he returned to the man of God. What's that mean, brother? That man sought out a fellowship to be a part of. That man sought out, brother. He just didn't get baptized and go on back down the road, brother. He got baptized in the Jordan River and then came back and found where the man of God was, where the church was. Brother, let me tell you something. There's a problem if you get dipped in the water and then you don't return back to the fellowship somewhere.
Right. Amen.
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 Am I preaching to Christians this morning? Ain't something wrong if a man gets baptized. A man says he's got a testimony, he's saved, but he don't seek out no fellowship nowhere. There's a problem there, ain't there? That's not a good testimony. Hey, Naaman's got a good testimony. He goes down there. Listen to what he does. He goes down there and seeks. He just don't want to run back down to the house. He says, I want to have a fellowship to be a part of. And brother, when a man gets saved by God's grace and truly converted, he wants to be around preaching. He wants to be around teaching. He wants to be around the things of God. He wants to be a part of a local church somewhere. He's got that desire. He's got that appetite in his life. And I've got a problem with anybody who says they're saved by God's grace, brother, and don't seek out a fellowship somewhere to be a part of, who don't seek out a place where they can hear God's word. Now, I know it's a different time in a different place that we're in, and I know we got people sick, and I know we got people vulnerable. I'm not meaning that, but let me tell you something. I talked to a real solid Christian man this week that's been in church for years. Brother, he don't go to this church, but he's a solid Christian man, and you know what he told me? He said, when I sit home, he said, I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, I don't have to pay attention to that Facebook Live. He said, I'll start watching it a little bit. He said, then there's something else to get my attention, and I'll go into something else. Now, brother, I said, that's exactly right. That's the truth. And you can't tell me you're laying at the house, and when you're able to be here, and there's nothing wrong with you, listen, you're not getting out of it. What you ought to be getting out of it, then you ought to be in the house of God. Brother, with Kennedy, when my daughter Kendi worked in the nursing home, brother, she was in this old man's room one day. He didn't know me from Adam's house cat. He didn't know her other than she worked at the nursing home. Brother, she walked in his room and she heard something playing. Brother, she said, that sounds like my old dad. And she walked over there, and that old man, Brother Glenn, had no phone somebody give him. And there I was, brother, old bald head, hacking and slobbering away. And she said, that's my dad. He said, really? I didn't know who this was, but I walked in here. I'm tired of this bed and I can't get out. And thank God somebody puts this on here where I can enjoy something every Sunday. I don't know him and he don't know me, but God knows that man's situation and God knows that man's heart, and that man's seeking out some kind of fellowship in some way. But I'm talking about those, brother, that don't down the doors, those that ain't got no desire or are using this as an excuse, brother. There's a problem in their heart. There's a problem in their mind. And brother, let me tell you something. God wants his people to be assembled together. God wants his people to seek out fellowship one with another. And Naaman, brother, he had the big excuse whatsoever to leave and go back. But he sought out the fellowship of God.
Amen.
Amen.
God's people. You know how I know he got a good testimony? Because, brother, he submitted down to God's word. He submitted down, Brother Jamie.
Yeah.
He sought out fellowship. And did you see what he said when he went down there? Look what the Bible says right here. He said, I know. Now I know that there is no God but the God of Israel.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? Let me tell you something. Watch me here. You get saved by God's grace. You get submitted to God's word. Sam, you seek out a fellowship where you belong. You know what God does for you, Jeff? He'll settle it in your heart that you're saved. Now, let me tell you something, brother. Listen to me. You get saved by God's grace. The devil's going to come alongside of you in the first few weeks.
Amen.
And he's going to say, you ain't saved. They ain't nothing to you. And the first time you mess up and say something you ain't supposed to say or whatever, you're going to say, the devil's going to say, sir, but you ain't even saved.
That's right.
He's going to get you to doubt it, ain't he? Amen. And he's going to do that from time to time. But listen to me. We got people in this church who've been saved 40, 50, 50 years. Brother, let me tell you something. They don't struggle that much with doubt no more. Now, I ain't saying that the devil don't come along and doubt him here and there. He does. He does that all. But let me tell you what I'm trying to say. The longer you go, the longer you're with God's people, the longer you're submitted to God's word, brother, you've got to know soul salvation.
Amen. Amen.
The people that struggle the most, whether I'm saved, whether I'm not saved, brother, let me tell you what, they got something in their life, something ain't right somewhere, or they're not real consistent in God's house, something somewhere. Let me tell you something. You get born again by the Spirit of God. I've watched some of you here, brother. You've got saved, and I've seen you grow. I've seen you get strong in the Lord. I've seen you grow. Listen to me. You get settled in there. Ain't nobody can get you off the Word of God. Ain't nobody can get you off what's in your heart. And Naaman said this. He said, I know. You can have a no-soul salvation. You ain't got to walk around here scared to death. You can know and have it settled in your heart.
Amen.
The Bible said in 1 John 5:13, John said it like this. He said, these things I write to you, a little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. Brother, he settles it, Brother Glenn, down in our heart, that we know that we pass from life unto death because we have a love, Brother Gary, toward the brethren. Brother, he settles it in your heart that you know that you're saved.
Amen.
I heard preachers preach before in funerals, so I don't even know if I'm saved or not.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. That's bad.
Lord, have mercy.
That's bad. Brother, let me tell you something. I'm going to heaven today, Brother Ricky. Not because I preach. Not because I'm trying to pastor a church or treat my family. I'm not going to heaven for that stuff. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ has done for me. I'm trusting in Him. He said, if you believe on me, you'll have eternal life. Brother, I listen. I ain't hanging on. He's hanging on to me. My hands get weak, but He's hanging on to me. And I know that He has me. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Naaman said, I know. Boy, I said, oh, I'll tell you what, Brother Ricky, that testimony you give, you know, don't you? He settles it down in your heart. Does that mean you're perfect?
No.
Oh, no. Does that mean you don't make mistakes? Oh, no, we do, brother. But I know that something's in me, Daddy. I know I'm settled in my heart. And the longer you go, Brother Ethan, listen, and the longer you walk with God, and the more submitted you stand to God's word, and the more fellowship with God's people, the stronger you'll get. The stronger you'll get. In the things of God. And God will settle some things down in your heart.
Amen.
He said, I know. Now, that's what he said. What are you talking about, preacher? Look what else. I'm talking about a testimony of a changed heart. Look what he said right here. He said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand. He wanted to give a gift right here. He said, I pray thee in verse 15. Take a blessing, Kyla. He said, take a blessing from thy servant. He said, I want to give you something here, man of God. He said, I want to give you something here. What are you saying? About the testimony of a changed man. But they want to give something. They want to be a sacrifice. They want to sacrifice something for God.
Oh, yeah.
Are you listening? Somebody said, Brother Kevin, how you teach on tithing? How you teach on giving there at the church? Here's what I learned, Brother Glenn, after these years of pastoring people and preaching. I believe this. If I preach and you just fall in love with Jesus, you'll have no problem giving.
That's right. Amen.
You listen to me? If I preach and you fall in love with Jesus and you really get right with the Lord and you really love God, guess what? Y'all won't have to say a word about it, Jamie. You just want to give. You just want to give. Now, on the flip side of that, but there's something bad wrong with you in your heart if you're a stingy gut. Ain't something bad wrong if you don't want to give to the work of God. Ain't something bad wrong with your heart if you can pass somebody over. You say, well, they'll use it for a bad reason. That's between them and God, brother. Honey, we give it to be a blessing. We give it to be a help. And somebody that's truly been born again, somebody's got a true testimony, brother. I've never met a woman, brother, that ain't got a big generous heart about them and wants to give and help somebody and do something for the work of God.
Amen.
Do you know, we had to shut the church down for March, picked it back up in May. And brother, let me tell you something. These people said, I don't know where we make the bills around there. I wasn't a bit worried about it 1 ounce. You know why? You know why I wasn't a bit worried about it? Because I've seen God do that before in the past with us. I've seen, listen, I'm telling you how much I believe God. How much I believe God. I believe God, if we needed $100 bill, let me tell you something. God wants you to give it, and He wants me to give it. And if I don't give it, He wants to be a blessing to me. He said, I want you to give it. God will be a blessing to you in some way. But if I won't give it, and if somebody I shut up and refuse it, if God's got to get an old crow, if God's got to get an old crow to go dig through the garbage, find $100 bill, and dig it up, put it in his beak, and fly in here and fly through the window and drop it in an offering plate, he can do it, can't he?
Amen.
Amen. He's God. He can do anything he wants to do.
Right.
He wants to share the blessing with you and for me. But Naaman got right here with God, brother. And Naaman said, listen here, I got something I want to give you, man of God. I got something I want to be a blessing with. And God's people, when they truly get born again, brother, they'll be a giving people, brother. They'll be a people that want to sacrifice something for God. They won't be a bunch of old stingy guts. They won't be a bunch of old tight lint, brother. They'll want to give and do something for God, whatever it is. They'll want to give with themselves. They want to give with their money, whatever it is. They want to be given for the work of God.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Naaman's got a testimony, brother. Jesus used Naaman of all the people as an example of somebody that's truly got converted. Hey, he's wanting to do. He's humbled down. He's seeking out a fellowship. He said, I want to be a blessing to somebody. I want to give something to somebody. Listen to me. That's what God does, ain't it? That's what God does. You know what? I told Mother to print off the reports from this church from January to December. And I'm going to add it up, brother. And I'm going to tell you, I can believe I can show you definitively with proof why God's blessed us here so much in our little old fellowship. Because we try for our best to help people, brother. We try our best to reach out to people. We try our best. We can't get everybody. We can't help everybody. But we try to be a blessing to people in need. We try to be a blessing to those in our community. We try to reach out to folks. And I believe because of that, Randall, God's blessed us here and protected us here and watched over us here. And I'll tell you on another scale, if you'll do that in your home, if you'll do that in your life, brother, the blessings of God, it'll pour out on you. That's the only command in the Bible that God said. If you do this, you prove me. I'll show you. I'll tell you story after story where God blessed me and where God took care of me. He'll take care of you, brother, if we'll just be generous and have an open heart, want to give ourselves to the work of God.
Amen.
That's a testimony of a saved person. They got a generous, they won't give of themselves. You say, preacher, I ain't got much. It's to me, it don't matter. God's got it all. He looks at the heart behind it, brother. He looks at the motive behind it. Amen. You take a man, brother, he just says, I'm just going to give this much right here. Some people just want to give it all to God.
Amen.
God's people will be the kind of people, we'll give it all, brother.
Amen.
Whatever it is, we'll give it. Because we love the Lord. Amen. Naaman said, here, take all this. Take all this. He's got a heart that wants to give. Now, here's a verse right here. Brother, let me tell you something. He said, now look, Elisha. He said, something's bothering me. Something's bothering me. Standing before the man of God. He said, when I go back down to my master's house down in Syria. He said, we go into the house of Rimmon. I just read it to you. Rimmon was a big god. They had to go in there weekly and worship Rimmon. He said, when I go in the house of Rimmon, he said, I have to bow down.
I have to bow down.
And it's bothering me, Elisha. I don't want to go in there and bow down in that house of God. And when I go in there with that king, with my master, he's going to put his hand on my shoulder and he's going to force me like to bow down. It's bothering him, Dakota, to think I'm going to have to go down there and bow down. He's already on his mind, Gary, thinking, yeah. I'm going to have to go down there. I don't want to do that. That's not where my heart is. Let me tell you what God does when God saves you, folks. He changes you. He makes you sensitive. And the things that you used to want to do and go out here, that don't it never bothers you. It'll bother you if you're right with God. If you're truly born again, you can't leave out of here and go drink. You can't go out of here and go live in sin. Hey, brother, it'll bother you. Hey, brother, it'll torment you in your heart. And here's what I'm talking about. This man's got a heart, brother, that's sensitive to what others are seeing. This man's got a heart, brother, how his community used him. This man's got a heart of what he's going to do out here because he loves God. And somebody that's born again of God, somebody that's truly saved, brother, they don't want to do nothing to make Jesus look bad. They don't want to do nothing that's going to make the church look bad because they got a heart that's sensitive to the things of God. Are you listening?
Amen.
Talk about a testimony of a true, born again, changed person. in their life. You'll be different. There's no other way around it, brother. You'll be different.
You'll be different.
You know what the little girl said in the Sunday school class? She goes in her Sunday school class and she's 11 years old. She told her Sunday school teacher, Jeff, she said, I got saved last week. She said, praise the Lord. The Sunday school teacher said, well, praise the Lord. She said, you got saved. Well, what's different in your life this week? The little girl lived in a good Christian home. She said, well, here's what's different in my life this week. She said, Mom always got me to sweep the floors. And I sweep the floors. And she said, I'll just be honest with you, teacher. Sometimes when I get the dirt to the closet, I pick up a rug. And instead of putting it in the pan and throwing it away, I just sweep it on the rug where nobody can see it. She said, but this week, teacher, I swept around the house and I even got the stuff that was under the rugs. Because it bothered me.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. You truly get born again. That stuff that you used to sweep under the rugs, it's just sin. No, you get born again, you won't get that stuff out of the rugs. I get that right too. No, I ain't going to just dismiss that. I shouldn't have said that. No, I ain't going to dismiss that. I shouldn't have done that. Lord, help me make that right. I just don't want to push it off on the rug.
So
let me tell you something. You get right with God, you start pushing stuff on the rug, you end up tripping over that rug.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
You know, you got to take care of it. You got to take care of it before it gets too big a hump that you fall over. It's a stumbling block to somebody, ain't it, Ricky?
Yeah.
And she said, I get all the dirt in the house best I can now. Amen. That's a great lesson for us to learn from, ain't it?
Yeah, it is.
Are you truly born again? I'm going to ask Garrett to get us a song or something or whatever God's got for him to sing.